Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Louis Aircraft, Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I'm saying? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Ready for this. Very my style. go. Am I on the air, Ellen? Because I have problems getting in the studio today. Am I in the air?
Yes, you are on the air.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show, everybody. Sorry for the long intro. I'm really excited with our guest coming in, Lana. I think it's Lana. Did you? It's Lana Campbell. I thought you said Laura. It's Lana, right? Lana?
No, it's Lana Campbell. Yeah,
right.
Lana Campbell.
I'm really excited about our guest. She's writing about vampires.
And her book's name is Laura.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That's where I got confused. And her book is on Amazon right now. So go to Amazon. Are we going to be talking about Desert Terror? Is this the book we're going to be talking about? Because
yeah,
I don't have
yeah.
the name.
We're going to be talking mostly about Desert Terror, but she's going to be talking about her entire Forever and a Night series.
Wow.
This is the seventh book in that series.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, come on in. It sounds like a romance book, you know what I mean? I mean, again, you read it a little bit. Her name is Rachel. She is a 26-year-old vampire with a dream. You know, vampires have dreams, too. I mean, we're always down on vampires, you know what I mean? But they have dreams. They have hopes, wishes. It's a 26-year-old vampire with a dream. She wants to be famous, a famous world anchor person. To accomplish the dream, she has to make a name for herself. She finally gets her big break when she's sent to cover a war in a galaxy. I love this twist. I really do love this twist. Her meddlesome grandfather, there's always that guy, hires a bodyguard to accompany her. The last thing Rachel wants is a babysitter. She's afraid she won't be taken seriously as a journalist. Well, unless you're, you know, you have the morning show, like, you know, she can't do that, right? But her protector proves to be a thorn in her side. Immediately, Rachel can't stand his bossy attitude. Uh-oh, it's a hashtag Me Too vampire. Yet there's something about the devilishly. We talk about this every time on the show. Didn't we talk about this? How come they're always handsome? They're always, well, I like how she did it, devilishly handsome. I mean, why can't they be just a regular guy, you know what I mean? Why can't they just be fat, beer-drinking slub? They have to, this guy is devilishly handsome.
You know what? You can ask Lana that. Why can't they just be regular, normal guys?
Yeah, why can't they be a regular guy, a regular vampire? Like, hey, Joe, hey, dude. But no. I mean, because if I see
a beer drinking, wing eating.
Yeah. Why can't they be like that? It's like, oh, you can imagine it. Girlfriend, and do you see that guy? But he's a vampire. But look at him. But he's a vampire. He's so handsome. Ugh. All right.
He's so hot.
He's so hot, but he's a vampire. Girl, look at his abs. All right, let's talk to Lana.
Becky, look at that butt.
I know, but he's a vampire. You see when he turns into bat, that those big butt cheeks are flying towards you? Oh, girlfriend. All right,
look at
let's
that
talk
wingspan.
Yeah, look at that wingspan. Ooh, it's not the size of the wing. It's what's inside the vampire. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's what's in his heart. Yeah, he tries anything with me, I'm going to put a stake in his heart.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about this handsome dude that we can, regular guys cannot live up to. So let's hear it. She's nice enough to come in the studio. Ellen, be nice. Be nice.
Okay,
ladies and
I'll
gentlemen,
be nice.
The lady and the author, Lana Campbell, who wrote about the devilishly handsome vampire with the nice butt cheeks.
Oh,
she's in the studio.
The girls,
let's welcome them in.
The girl is
yeah.
a vampire. What is, bodyguard.
Oh, really? Oh, the girl's a vampire. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Magic Mike the Vampire. Here we go. Lana Campbell. Yeah, there she is. Oh, they love her. Good morning, Lana. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm feeling less adequate after reading your devilishly handsome vampire.
Nope, he's a human.
Well, that's even worse. I mean, oh, I can't compete with a human vampire. Well, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank
great
you.
To have you here. You're welcome. Yeah. So tell me about your Well, let's, you know, here's what I do. Here's the kind of interview I do. First, we get to know you. And then after we get to know you, we talk about the book, because when people get to know how lovely you are, they're going to buy your book. So growing up, Lana, tell me about growing up, Lana. How was it when you were growing up as a child?
Well, I grew up in southern Illinois, raised by my grandparents. And as early as I can remember, I was always reading. I had a girlfriend that loved Harlequin romances when I was 14, and I started reading them with her. And as far as back as I can remember, I've always liked to read romance books. And one day I just decided I wanted to write one.
Wow. You took some risk here, because you even mentioned ISIS in the book. You know, the attraction for...
Now, this
and so they are captured
futuristic. This book is futuristic. Yeah. It's set in 2042.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's in the future. And ISIS is still around? There you go, Trump. You didn't do it. It's still around. Wow.
Yeah.
That took guts. That took guts, though, because actually pointing out ISIS and then getting into the that took a lot of guts, because now you get into the political realm. I like it. I like it. So, okay, let me guess. I'd like to profile my guest. Okay, you're Alana. I'm listening to your voice. Lovely woman. I saw your picture. Very pretty. Very pretty.
Thank you.
Like the girl next door, the hot girl next door that you can't get. And that you just drive your bike, you know, see if she'll look out the window at you, and then she shuts the drapes when you crash into the hedge. She's the hot girl next door, you know. So you cheerleader? Were you a cheerleader in high school and stuff like that?
I was.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you date the football captain of the team?
Oh, no. Nope, didn't. I went for bad boys.
Really?
Yeah.
I like you already.
Wow.
You would love
that's a lady after my own heart. Well, I dated the captain of the football team. He happened to be a bad boy.
Yeah.
So.
Look at you. You would have loved me. I went to juvenile hall. I would have wore a JV on my Letterman T-shirt for juvenile. Look at you. So what kind of bad boy did you date? I mean, first of all, what state do you live in? You got an accent, Missouri?
Arkansas.
Tennessee?
Arkansas, yeah.
Arkansas has some bad boys. I mean, they have some really bad boys in Arkansas. So,
yeah, I married one.
You married one. Oh, my God. What made him so bad, and what attracted you to him?
Oh, he just was in so much trouble. He had a lot of trouble in his life. But the time I met him, he wasn't doing bad things. I thought he was a pretty good guy, but deep down, he just couldn't seem to shake that persona.
He's kind of edgy, kind of down, homeboy, kind of edgy. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing that gets old. Chicks love that, you know, the James Dean, country James Dean kind of guy. Oh, come on. Look at that. You know, Rebel Without a Tractor. They love that crap. I should do it.
Right.
So you beautiful family. So now you went through high school. Did you go to college, Lana?
Yeah, I went to college to be a nurse, and I ended up not being a nurse, and I ended up being a farmer for 20 years.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yep. A produce
farmer.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard work. That is extremely
hard
work.
Oh, you're telling me. Yeah, it kept me in shape.
Really? Now, what is your hours when you're a farmer, produce farmer? Let me guess. You had to be on you're working at, 4 o'clock in the morning? You're already in the fields, or you're already doing crops or looking at things and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, At the break of dawn, you're already in the field. Yeah.
Wow.
And you work until
dark. Ellen, that's hard work. Oh my God, you're a farmer. So were you selling your own produce at a farmer's market every weekend or something like that?
Exactly. We sold our produce. I baked baked goods for the farmer's market, and we were there 3 days a week. And we sold what we had, and we made a living at it. And then about in 2008, we started a corn maize pumpkin patch, and that was real lucrative.
Oh, I would love to be your neighbor. Oh, I would love to be your neighbor. So, because Halloween must have been your year, right? Because if you did that pumpkin patch kind of thing.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we'd have 20,000 or 30,000 people go through that maize and pumpkin patch in in 2 months. Yeah.
Wow.
Got it. I'm already a fan of yours. I mean, this now you see, you know, now this is the American lady here, waking up at 4 a.m. with the produce and the pumpkin and making kids, you know, doing the pumpkin patch and, you know, industrial thinking here. So tell me about, now you have a baby, you have a son. How old is your son, may I ask?
No,
daughter.
I have 3 grown daughters.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have how many sons and how many daughters?
I got 3 grown daughters. One's 36, one's 28, and one's 26.
My condolence. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let me. Oh, my God.
Why didn't you give her your condolences?
Because it's hard raising daughters. I can, when they get into the 13s and to the 19s, you know, but then when they get into the 30s, they already had their broken relationships, and maybe they're going to divorces, and maybe they, and mama's always there, and mama's always hearing the, oh my God, I can imagine the daughters. Sons don't talk. We don't talk with the daughters. Oh my, the yakety yakety. Do they like each other? Because usually when you have daughters that close in age, there's a lot of friction and a lot of drama.
Oh yeah, the 2 youngest ones, they're just real close. They're not as close with my older one because there's a 7-year age difference. My older daughter lives with me now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. You sound like a great close family. That poor kid, that son, I mean, how's he doing? Is he a bad boy? Did you raise him to be a bad boy?
I don't have a son. No.
Oh, I thought you did. Ellen, you said she had a son. Okay.
No, I didn't. His daughter.
When things go wrong, we just blame Ellen. That's just the way the show goes. thank you. Paranormal. Now, Ellen, do you believe in the paranormal at all? I know we're going into the vampire series, but do you actually believe in the spirits and the paranormal, Lana?
No, I believe in, I'm a strong Christian. I mean, being born in the Midwest, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. I definitely believe in the supernatural, but as far as ghosts and stuff like that, no.
Yeah, I hear you. Now tell me about your book, okay? I'm gonna let's pretend I like to role play. You're at a book signing, and you're popular, you know. And you're and you see me in line, and so I finally reach a line, and you're doing your book signing, and then you say, "Well, where's your book?" I go, "I just came here to ask you if you know where the bathroom is," and then you say, "Well." You didn't have to wait in this line. I wanted to get to know you, and then you say, okay, well, you know, we're talking about the vampires today. Oh, cool. Can I help you? Yeah, can you tell me about your book? I have nothing to do. Okay. So this moron in line.
Yeah, but then I'd remind you. I thought you had to go to the bathroom.
I did, but while I'm here. I kind of want to know what's going on, so I don't have much time. So it's like you're going to talk to this moron. Tell me about your book and sell me.
Okay, you want to know about Desert Terror, huh?
Yep, I guess so. Yes, I do. Yes, right,
okay.
Right, Rudy. Yes, yes, ma'am.
Well, it just came out on 5/5, so it's my newest book. And first of all my books stand alone. So even though it's the 7th book in the series, people can still enjoy it. They don't have to read the other books in the series. But this one is about a bodyguard that has been a bodyguard to other people in the series. And you've seen him before, but, you know, but he's never had a love interest. Well, he's he works for the billionaire Nathan Davenport, and he's the head of all of his security. And he's been in a Navy SEAL. He's been in the military. He's been a Secret Service agent. He's done a lot of things. So he really has a good resume. Well, anyway, Rachel, the vampire, is actually Nathan Davenport's granddaughter, and he is very overprotective of her. He's worried about her going on this trip to Afghanistan right in the middle of a war with ISIS, between ISIS and Afghanistan. And he sends him with her. And, of course, at first she isn't too fond of him because he's bossy. But then they start to develop a romance. Well, in the middle of all this, she's trying to get a story, and she gets the story of her life because she gets kidnapped by ISIS terrorists and taken to one of their training camps. And in the course of this, torture and stuff occurs. It's really gritty, on the edge of your seat type of story, you know, as far as when that happens. And together, they work together to escape. And she has supernatural powers. She can enchant people and force humans to do what she wants to do. So she actually is able to enchant a couple of the terrorists, scare them to death, and they let them go. Then they chase after them. So their journey is to try to get to freedom.
Wow. Like I said, what a twist. You know, it's really funny. Do you concentrate? There's some supernatural in it, but do you concentrate on the story or do you concentrate on the vampire aspect? Because the story is, the storyline is great. The storyline, I like the, like I said, you took some risks asking naming names of a terrorist group. You took some risks. I love that about you. I like you taking risks. But the storyline is a... Go ahead. I was just saying the storyline itself is a great storyline, even without the vampire aspect. So I'm saying, how does, do you rely more on your storyline? Even though she is a vampire, do you concentrate on her powers or do you concentrate mostly on, I know it's part of her tool getting away, but is the storyline takes more precedence than over that she's, than she's a vampire that she has to be, you know. But, you know, the problem, okay, I got it. Yeah, my head is just going crazy. There's so many questions I want to ask you. I'm visualizing this, and if she's captured, what happens in the daytime if she's a vampire? I mean, it would be hard to go to the cell, and there's a coffin in there so she can rest. I mean, doesn't she turn into dust? And...
No. My vampires suffer from a blood disease. They have evolved as a different species from humans. They do not, they're mortal. They live longer, but they are mortal, and they have psychic and telekinetic abilities. And so the only thing is she can't go into the sun without sunglasses, but she can definitely go into the sun. And the thing is, people read my stories. They see that vampires are very human-like, and that a lot of them, to get their blood needs met, they take it through an IV. And she's one of them. So, you know, that is not – I don't concentrate so much on that. I want them to have a feel as a person. This is nothing like Twilight or Anne Rice stories. This is just, and some of my vampires in my stories are actually Christians, born again Christians, believe it or not.
Wow.
Are you yourself a born again Christian?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, go ahead, Alvin. Make sure you clean up your mouth because I know about born again Christians. Go ahead with your question.
Hey, wow, this is a whole new, you know, vampire.
It is, isn't it? I love it.
There's nothing out there like it.
Wow.
I mean, so none of your vampire characters do any of the gruesome, grotesque killing that normal vampires do?
Yes, there are in some of my stories, there are what you call feral vampires, and they are the antagonists in the story. There are some bad vampires, but they're good vampires are working against them to stop whatever they're doing because they're terrorizing other people, humans as well as vampires.
Ah, okay.
I love the aspect that the vampire is a born again Christian. You should put that twist on that one. I love it. That is amazing. No, I really
Thank
do because
you.
You're right. There's nothing like that. It's original. Interesting. Now, I don't know how to interview you because I don't want to offend you. But is it hard? Is it hard to let me just go into the other easy softball questions and then I'll get into the hard one. As a vampire born again Christian, yourself as a born again Christian, is it hard to write about the paranormal, spiritual? Because you're getting into vampires, and isn't vampires kind of related to the devil and evil? And was it kind of hard to make him more romantic? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, but no, when I first start a book out, people know from the get-go that these are people that evolved from humans, a different species, that suffer from a blood disease called vampire myodysplasia, and they have to have blood a couple times a week. Now, they can either drink it or they can take it intravenously, but they do understand that, and I humanize my vampires so that they don't seem that way. They have psychic and telekinetic abilities, but, you know, their source of that does not stem from evil. It stems from their mind, because, you know, humans have psychic and telekinetic abilities, too. They're just not as developed as the vampires are. Some people do, you know what I'm saying. But I get that point across relatively quick, and then if the vampire in my story happens to be a Christian, I get that in there rather quickly too, and people begin to enjoy it and then realize that it isn't evil. And I've got a lot of Christians that have read it and really enjoy it, and it's refreshing for them. And then I've had people who aren't that say it's not preachy, you know, it's not coming across like, you know, you're trying to prove a point. It's just coming across like you've got some moral people in these stories, and they're good people, and they're enjoying reading about them. And once I develop a fan on one book, I have a fan for life, because they really do like my stories. So,
well, you have a good story. Let me ask you a question as a person, as a writer, as an author. Is it hard to write racy? This is also a romance kind of thing too.
Yeah.
Are you very careful that the romance doesn't go out of control? I'm trying to be as nice as I can. A lot of authors will come in, and a lot of it is explicit, and a lot of it is racy, and a lot of it is this to go with the storyline. Do you stay away from that, or you're an author? This is a book, and I can write it. I'm okay. Or do you find that gets in the way? I mean, because you are – I do not see you writing anything like 50 Shades of Grey, even if he is a vampire.
So, no, but there's a consummation scene in every single book, but it's by the time they're married or they have become life mates. And I call them, instead of a married couple, life mates. Once they've become life mates, then I usually do one consummation scene. There's kissing, there's romance, you know. It's all building up to crescendo in the book, where the two people, two MCs, get together, and then fourth bad guy. But, I have no problem writing some racy scenes in it, because that's just very natural between two people that are married.
That's true. That's true. And we have somebody in the room, and I think they might want to ask you a question. Are you familiar with – is it Doma Hankins, Ellen? Doma Hankins?
It's supposed to be Donna. I'm sorry. I was writing that. It's Donna Hankins.
Donna.
Donna's an author, too.
Oh, really? Is she on our guest list? Let me see. Is she on our guest list? Am I interviewing her? No?
She came in.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. You have another author here, and she's here early, so I'm thinking it's for you, not for me. So hold on, Lana. You may have a question here. Donna, welcome to the show, Donna. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
great. Donna, you were here early. Is it? I could hear you, yes. You're here early. Let me ask you a question. Well, what state are you from, Donna? Let me get your accent. Yep, Louisiana.
You're not going to get my accent. I've lived too many places for you to get my accent.
Well, Donna, you heard we have our guest here, Lana, and she's an author. You're an author, too. Is there a question you want to ask Lana before I go into? Because I hate to keep people waiting on hold. That's why I open up the phones. Is there a question you have, or you just like
I
to listen?
I was trying to look up her book, but I can't find it. What's the name of it again?
It's Desert Terror by Lana Campbell.
Lana.
Okay.
I keep calling her Lana. Lana. You can go to Amazon and put in Lana, L-A-N-A, Campbell, C-A-M-P.
That's what it was. I was putting Lana.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it was my fault. I'm sorry. It's my accent. Lana, L-A-N-A.
Did she self-publish?
And did you self-publish,
Lana? Yes, I self-published on Amazon. But if you go to Amazon and you first put in Desert Terror and then my name, Lana Campbell, it'll come right up.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, I just love this twist. Okay, let's recap. We have vampires with a blood disease that would allow them to stay in the daylight. They could take it intravenously or other method. They're a born again Christian. They got morals. We got a vampire with morals. They don't bite you until they're engaged. Love it. But the subplot is very interesting. What do you think of the subplot here, Donna?
It is interesting. Yeah, it is.
I'm
not exactly like that myself. I do believe in ghosts only because I've had my own experiences. Don't believe in vampires.
Really?
But I do like to read about vampires.
Well, I think
like
you have a
Charlene Harris.
Lana,
Charlene Harris.
I think we can sell it.
Charlene Harris.
Yeah, Atlanta.
Good.
I think we can sell a book here. Okay, follow my lead. I get 10%. No, you don't need me to sell a book. You got a great storyline here. And Donna, you're here on the right day because we have another guest coming up later on. We're going to be talking about paranormal and everything and everything. So I hope you stick around. I'd like to talk to you a little bit. But, my head is just going crazy. Ellen, do you want to step in? Because
Donna's an author too, Brian.
She is. Well, maybe she will sign the form and get interviewed. Like, this show, let me tell you something. Man, I don't want to brag, but I have to because somebody else will do it for me. We're number one in the morning.
Excuse me. I do it.
I know you. I know. Over, you're heard around the world. I forgot to do the intro. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. The reason I say that is because we're heard around the world. We got a lot of people in Sweden. We got people in Russia listening to this show all around.
Yep.
And
what's that,
Ellen?
I said Pooty Baby likes the show.
Oh, Pooty. Oh, Putin. Putin loves me. Pooty Baby. Ah, drives Trump crazy. Let's get back to the book. Okay. Now, Lana.
Yeah.
I'm the moron in line again. I'm trying to buy the book. So far, you got me. I'm trying. You got me. Okay? But I'm the moron.
You go to the
bathroom. I don't read. I'm
you
not
go
going
to the bathroom,
yet. This is,
back?
Nope. This is too interesting. Nope. Too interesting. Too interesting.
Oh, okay.
Tell me about every book has an antagonist. Tell me about the antagonist in this story, Lana.
Well, the antagonist in this story, unlike a lot of them that I write, is ISIS terrorists that actually abduct her and her videographer and her bodyguard, abducts all three of them. So they're trying to, torture them and stuff. So that actually happens. It's, a little, like I said, gritty and stuff. I don't go into, nobody actually gets tortured, but her bodyguard does get beat, trying to save her life.
Right. as well as he deserves it. Good stuff.
I
could see.
Can I ask you a question?
I can see this.
Okay, how did they get captured if he's a CIA, a former CIA and a former Navy SEAL?
Well, there was about 18 of them with automatic rifles on him, and he's not a vampire, remember. He's a human, and my vampires are also not mortal, so they can be shot and killed.
Wow.
And tell me about, and what about the grandfather? Why is he, what's his problem? What's going on with him?
Well, he is in my first book. He's basically the patriarch of the series. In his story, which is Forever and a Night, he meets a 42-year-old sous chef and falls in love with her. She doesn't know he's a vampire, and he's got a stalker that makes their lives a living hell, and she's trying to kill his love interest in that story. But anyway, as far as what he means to Rachel, that's his granddaughter with his love interest in that first story. So as time progresses, because the first story is modern day, each story goes forward in the future. That's why this one is set in 4022.
This is really good. I can see this as a movie.
Oh.
I can see it as a series. I can see this on the WB. That's right.
I wish. From your mouth to some producer's ears.
It wouldn't be the WB, Brian. It'd be the CW, where they have all the vampires.
Or the CW. Oh, that's right. Because one is wholesome. You know what I mean? There are, I like the twist that she's writing as a born-again Christian, because it's kind of thing that your teenagers can watch. And it's not too not too graphic as far as sexual goes, and not too graphic as far as violent goes. And they stick to the, you know, when you take out the sex and you take out the gratuitous violence, now you better have a good story to hold people. Because I think a lot of people put that in, just, and it has nothing to do with the story, just to hold you a little bit. What do you think, Lana? You think it's like a movie when you have the car chase that go 15 minutes. It means you ran out of script. So when you take out the gratuitous sex and the violence, you better have a great storyline. Am I correct? Does it put a lot more pressure on you?
You are absolutely correct. Now, there are erotica books that people write and people buy them. So I don't know. I don't buy them. But you know, there are that out there that's all about gratuitous sex. But, no, that's not the main thrust of my story. It's a plot line that revolves around the two main characters and somebody, you know, out to get them or, you know, doing something evil.
What made you go into Oh, well, you already told me when you were a kid you were fascinated with the stories, and you must have been a fan of Charmed when it came out. They did that very well, too. It's almost a romance series, Charmed, right? I don't know if you were or not.
I don't watch too many vampire series. I read books, but I stay away from that so I don't get anything interwoven into my mind that's going to cross over into my own work. It's totally original.
Now, how long you've been writing since you were young? So when did you actually start publishing? You got serious and say, you know what, I'm going to go for it. How many series? This is seven?
There's seven books in the series.
Okay.
And I didn't really start writing. Yeah, I didn't really start writing until 1994. And I wrote for off and on for a lot of years. But after things settled down in my life, my kids got on their own, I published my first book in 2016. So I started kind of writing in 2014 again and got busy with it. And then I've just been writing ever since.
And how are your books doing in sales? It's hard. I mean, when I say this, we've been doing it for 10 years.
It's pulling teeth because I'm an indie author. I don't have a publisher currently, and I publish every book myself. So, you know, it's word of mouth. I do book signings. I do stuff like that. But it's real hard, you know, to get that out there. But once I do get people that start reading the books, they really love them.
Really? Well, did you you go to church. I'm assuming you go to church every Sunday or not. I don't know. Do you belong to a church?
Right. No,
Did you ever talk to the pastor? I don't.
I'm sorry, but I don't. I don't go to church that often. I have more of a spiritual relationship with God, definitely a Christian, but I just am a homebody, and I don't get out that much. I write. I mean, I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and write 4 hours before I go to work every single day.
Really? Well, the reason
yeah,
I say
7 days a week.
It's because when people come on, I try to give them some advice that I know because I'm in the business aspect of it. May I suggest something? I would suggest to, you know, you're a born-again Christian. I'm sure you belong to some groups on Facebook who are the same. You should hit a church. And then because your book is really good, to really reach out to an audience and talk to the clergy there and say, you know, I am a writer and everything. And see, like, after a service or something, I want to present this book. I know the vampire is going to be hard to sell at church, but there are some people who are – you know what I mean? But if you say I'm a born-again Christian.
Yeah.
Right. I think they would make some kind of, you know, thing that you could raise. You know, part of the proceeds will go to the church and everything, and you can get your built-in audience that way. It's a way of reaching out to a particular, you know, because when I talk to authors and musicians, I say, you got to know your audience. If your audience is if it's born again, this book is not just for born again Christians. I'm just saying it's a great book. But I'm saying that you do have a built in audience already that you may not be paying attention to because they're looking
for
something like this.
True.
And so you have a built in audience. I mean, you have an audience that nobody else can reach out to because of their own beliefs. You're there.
Right.
That's your people. You would be just a suggestion. You know, I try to give good suggestions that you might want to reach out to your audience because there's a born-again Christian girl who's 13 years old who can't read anything else. Her mom doesn't want her to go to the store. The TV is so full of violence and all that kind of stuff. You're her. You're the portal for her reading material.
Right. Yeah, I agree. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's your audience. Well, when we come back, Ellen's going to wrap it up, and Ellen's going to talk. She has some talking points that you wrote down. She's going to go over those for you. And I am interested in your book. I think you got a great storyline. I'm going to step out because I have to go to the bathroom. Ellen's going to take over because I'm still the moron. But before I go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read your book in the bathroom. So I'm going to buy your book, and I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to read it. That's what I'm going to do. Okay,
wow.
So we're talking. Hey, it's a good book.
I guess you didn't see the thing that I put in the studio.
Oh, people are working on your roof? Is it loud where you are? Because I'll continue the interview. Okay, then I'll take it. I'll take it. Okay. We are with the author, Lana, L-A-N-A, Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. The name of the book is Desert Terror. Great book. I like the twist. And now we're going to go to the talking points because there are some things that she wants to talk about. Ellen, do you remember what they are? Because I'm looking at the form, and the form is not telling me much. Unless wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah,
I got
it. Her journey.
My journey as a writer?
Her journey as a writer.
And writing fiction and self-publishing. So let's go with that. Let's pretend that I don't know, and I'm just going to ask you that question like I don't know. So let's see if my acting skills are good. Here we go. I'm still the moron, but I actually want to ask you some questions. Can you sign my T-shirt? Okay. Your journey as an author. Talk to me about your journey as an author.
Well, like I said, I started writing in 1994, and I didn't know how to write. My English and grammar was so bad, I can't even tell you how bad it was. So I joined an writer's group, Ozark Romance Authors, and I got a lot of training in that group, a lot of help. It really taught me how to write, and I spent a lot of years there, wrote some books.
never published them, never thought they were good enough. And then I just kept honing the craft over the years. And then 2014, I joined another writer's group in Fayetteville, Arkansas, kind of got a little help there as well, and then went ahead and went forward with Forever in a Night, the first book I told you about, and published it. I actually got a publisher for that one, but it was a Vanity Press publisher. I had to actually pay to have that book published, and let me just tell you, I wouldn't advise anybody to do that.
You know, I heard a lot of horror stories, Lana, about people self-publishing. They're thinking that it's like, okay, I don't know Amazon as much, but there's people who start publishing, says, oh, it's only $250, and they end up spending like $5,000. Did you get caught up into that kind of woven trap that it cost you a lot of money just to self-publish?
Yeah, it didn't cost me that much, but it cost me about $1,000 to do it. Well, I learned from that experience, and I never saw one dime in my royalties either, so they were kind of a scam company. But then I did pick up a small publisher for my next three books, and that went fairly well. But then they went out of business, so that's when I decided to just start self-publishing all my books.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that all the time. Ellen lost $5,000. So how was your experience with Amazon?
It was like 10,000. I lost 10.
Was it 10,000? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So Lana, tell me. Yeah, it is awful. It's really hard for authors. So tell me the pitfalls. If you had to give advice, let's just go with Amazon. Let's stick with Amazon because a lot of people will go with Amazon. Self-publishing with Amazon is about how much you think that you need, you know, the proofreading and all this kind of stuff and the covers and all that. How much would you say that people would have to put out of their pocket if they're going to self-publish with Amazon?
Well, I don't, but most people would probably have to put out a minimum of $500 to get their story edited by an editor and then to get the cover work done, teasers, those sort of things that go into getting a book published. But to publish on Amazon, there's no charge whatsoever. You do it through KDP, Kindle Direct Publishing, and then you can set up your manuscript, your cover, and all that stuff, and you're good to go. It's definitely the way to go. Now, I don't use an editor. I edit all my own stuff. I've gotten to the point anymore that, you know, I'm pretty good at editing my own stuff. Not to say that I don't make mistakes and miss some stuff, but I can't afford it. I can't afford an editor. So that's just me personally. But I would definitely encourage anybody who's going to do it to definitely get an editor or a proofreader, because you really just can't do it successfully otherwise.
Right. I understand. So Amazon has a great module for self-publishers, but is it a good one? In your opinion, they're not listening, but is it a good one? I mean, I know that's all we have, but is it a good one? Does it really work for the author?
No. No, it is not good because they have algorithms and things like that where they don't really get your book out there unless you've had at least 50 to 100 reviews. Well, it's hard to get reviews. Even people that love your book sometimes do not leave reviews. You're a whole lot better off to go with a traditional publisher, but trying to get published with one of the big five is like winning the lottery. I mean, that's about what the chances are. Yeah, and a lot of them will not even look at you unless you have an agent. And so it's really difficult to get out
now,
there.
Are you working? Now, are you working to get a literary agent? What are you doing in that aspect as far as working to get a literary agent?
I've got my first book in right now with a publisher. They're a bigger publisher. They're affiliated with one of the big houses, and they've been looking at it for a couple of months, and they told me to give them a few more weeks. They had to look it over, so I got my fingers crossed. Now, I've also got a little mini-series that I'm doing, novellas, and I did get a publisher for that one, but they're a small house, so I don't know how well that'll do. But if you get one of the bigger publishers, they help you market and advertise your book. And without that assistance, you're doing all the marketing on your own. And if you aren't good at marketing and, you know, marketing yourself as a brand, you just really are stuck not selling too many books.
Now, people think, okay, I'm going to do a book signing. Are book signings profitable, or are they just basically, do you lose money because you're just getting yourself out there and you're promoting yourself? So could it, is it profitable to do, I'm thinking you're losing money when you're doing book signing. It's a catch-22. Talk to me about that.
No, I make far more money on print books than I do on e-books. E-books sell anywhere from $2.99 to $4.99 on average, and you only mm-hmm. make, you know, roughly 50% of that, maybe a little more on Amazon. But when
right.
you do a book signing, you know, you're getting your book at a 40% discount. And so
mm-hmm.
I just sell them, you know, at farmers markets and places like that, and I sign them. And I do pretty good on that, you know, usually, not always.
See, here's where I can't wrap my head around it, Lana. I mean, I hear it all the time. People, Ellen's on it too, on Amazon. It seems like they control, the book is not in your control. It's in Amazon's control. You have to buy your book at a discount
right.
to even sell your book. And it's
right.
hard. I mean, to me, it's like an oxymoron. And it's not really your book because they have certain conditions and stuff on Amazon regarding your price, and then maybe they sell your book for free or something. Help me out here. There's some pitfalls here.
No. You set your price for your book within their parameters, and they
in their parameters.
Yeah, within their parameters.
Okay.
And your book, like a print book, can go anywhere from $9.99 to up to $250, depending on whatever kind of book it is, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you
mm-hmm.
set your own prices.
So I'm buying your paperback, $20.99. How much do you get? How much do you get after all said and done? If I bought your book for $29,
probably about $7. Not a whole lot.
That's not bad. I mean, you know, it's not bad.
Not bad.
It's still not bad. It's not bad.
But people,
compared to. Mhm.
Yeah, but people buy e-books these days. You don't sell very many print books anymore. People have gone to reading on Kindles and their phones.
Right.
So it's tough.
And but, you know, we don't have much time. I'll tell you a dirty, dirty trick Amazon does. But it's really tough to get a paperback book when you have Kindle, which is, you know, three-quarters of cheaper that you can go on Kindle for $4.99. Example, on Kindle, your book, Desert Terror, is $4.99
right.
on Kindle. The paperback is $20.99. You know where people are going to go. They're going to go to $4.99. Now, if they bought the $4.99, how much do you get? How much do you make out of that $4.99?
About $2.
Really? And are you the one? Can you say, you know what? I want to give a giveaway. Can you tell Amazon that, okay, I want it free on Kindle? Do you do that or do they do that?
You can set up a giveaway or you can set up a sale on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually do a giveaway, but you're only giving away one or two books, and people have to enter the
right.
giveaway. I've done that before.
Right.
It doesn't
mm-hmm.
really net me any sales to speak of, but yeah, it gets your name out there, gets people reading your book and so forth.
Right.
And then sometimes I've done, you know, 99-cent sales on my books and stuff, and then sometimes I get some sales and reviews from it. But yeah, you can do that yourself. Amazon, you've got to contact them to get it done, though.
I don't know. It sounds like it's – I know that's all we have is Amazon. There must be a better way. Get a literary publisher like what you're doing. Are you on Twitter so you can contact these people and get out there?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, but I do most of my business on Facebook, believe it or not. I have
yeah.
I'd like to say, I have a street team, which is basically like a fan club, and it's
mm-hmm.
Lena's Street Team. It's just Lena's Street Team. And anybody listening, I'd love for you to join. As a matter of fact, what I was going to say when the time was appropriate is that if anybody buys Desert Terror and joins my street team, Lena's Street Team, I will give them the first book in the series free.
Good deal. Good deal. Let's go to your next question. That's actually a good deal. And thanks for being so honest about Amazon. Writing fiction. We went over writing. Writing fiction. You're going to have to use a lot of your imagination, things you pull. How is it writing? It's easier to write fiction than nonfiction because then you have to go to the details and get permission and copyright and all that kind of stuff. So writing fiction, is it an easy thing to do?
To me, it is. It's just a blast. I love it. I love every minute of it. I just come up with the stories. I don't even know where they come from. So don't even ask. I don't know. They just come to me.
Well, I love it. What we're going to do is we're going to end the interview, but here's what we usually do, and I want to thank you again for coming in, Lana Campbell. Again, the book is on Amazon. It's called Desert Terror. I love it. And, it's a vampire romance story with a dream, but it goes into being a thriller in a way. It's a good drama. It's not a novella. It is a book. How many pages? 87 pages?
Yeah, it's around 370 pages. That one is.
Great. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a minute break. Ellen's going to talk to you, and she's going to whisper to you. She'll say, Lana, thank you so much for coming in. I'm going to already tell you what she's going to say. Thank you so much for coming in. You're amazing. You're just fantastic. I'm taking away her thunder.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm taking away my thunder. You.
We'll be right back, and when we come back, Lana's going to wrap up. She's going to give us 30 seconds, and she's going to wrap up the interview, and just in case we didn't go over any talking points. So the name of the book, everybody, it's called Desert Terror, the author, Lana Campbell. We'll be right back, so we're going to wrap this up. And thank you again, Lana. And Ellen will start whispering in your ear. And we'll be right back in about a minute. Here we go.
Okay.
Let's go to a commercial, a nice commercial. Let's go to a commercial. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Let's hide in the attic.
No, in the basement. Why can't we just get in the running car?
Are you crazy? Let's hide behind the chainsaws.
If you're in a horror movie, you make poor decisions. That's what you do.
I'm being quiet. Breathing on me.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Really, Really, Really Bad Dancer.
Mr. Really, Really, Really Bad Dancer.
Arms swinging, knees bending, head bobbing to no particular rhythm. You're either dancing or you have fleas.
Call me a doctor.
As soon as you hit the dance floor, the taunts begin. Is that all you got, playa? Unfortunately, yes, that's all you got.
Oh,
who's in the house? Some guy who can't dance. That's who's in the house.
You're a star.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Happy Feet, because you really put the oogie in boogie.
Mr. Really, Really Bad Dancer.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, the number one radio personality in the morning with the number one radio co-host, Ellen Johnson. We are heard around the world. Good morning again, and good afternoon, and good evening. We're here talking to the great author. Remember the name, Lana Campbell. The name of the book is, Ellen, the name of the book, Desert Terror. This is a seventh
of her,
of the series.
Terror is seventh in her series, Forever in a Night series.
And we're going to give her 30 seconds. And Lana, it's all yours, just in case we didn't go over anything that you would like to mention. You got the floor, Lana.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Lana. I don't know.
Lana?
Lana? Oh. Okay, live radio. Well, Lana's here.
Yeah, she's still here.
I know. Ellen, go into privacy if Lana's still here, or maybe she's having problems with her phone, and I'll stall. Okay, maybe the phone. All right, the name of the book is Desert Terror. You can get it on Amazon, and it's a good story. I'm going to go over it really quickly. And, again, this story is about vampires, and Lana Cameron, she is the author of the Forever and a Night Vampire series.
I don't know. She must be having problems with her phone. Yeah, she must be having problems with her phone, Brian, because I went to private and she couldn't hear me.
Okay, Lana, if you can hear me, if you can hear me, call back in, please. If you can hear me, call back in. And sometimes Blog Talk does that, and we have to get that connection. Okay, there she goes. She did hear me, so she'll come back in. Again, Desert Terror is the seventh and the latest of her Forever and a Night series. It's a good story. It's Rachel is a 26-year-old vampire with a dream. She wants to be a famous world anchor person. To accomplish that dream, she has to make a name for herself. She finally gets her big break when she's sent to cover a war in Afghanistan, and I think she's back. Oh, Ellen's going to check to see if she's back. So while she's in Afghanistan, to her dismay, her meddlesome grandfather hires. Is she back, Ellen? Is Lana back?
Yeah, she's back. Yep.
Beautiful voice.
She's back.
Welcome back, Lana.
Hi.
And Lana, you have your 30 seconds, and it's all yours. Take the floor.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on here.
You're welcome.
And I just wanted to finish up by saying the name of the series is Forever and a Night. The first book is Forever and a Night. We talked today about Desert Terror, which came out on 5/5. And you can find it on Amazon by simply going on Amazon and putting it Desert Terror and Lana Campbell, L-A-N-A, Campbell, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L, and you'll find it right there. And then I was also telling them I'd really like to get some people to get the book. It's a standalone, even though it's book 7 in the series. And if they do get it and join my street team, which is Lana's street team, I'll give them the first book in the series for free. All they have to do is once they join my street team, let me know that they've got the book, and I'll send the other one to them right away, the very first book, Forever and a Night.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Do you have a t-shirt for your street team? Do you, you know, Lana Campbell? Do you have anything printed up like that?
No, I hadn't thought that far ahead yet, but that is a good idea,
oh,
maybe. Maybe people
yeah,
would wear
market.
My t-shirt. Yeah, I'm
sure.
On a t-shirt.
While they're on the street, they can see the name. You're marketing your name and everything. That's cool. Lana,
yeah,
thank
that's
you
a good
so
idea.
Much for coming in. Yeah, it's
oh, thank you so
I
much
that.
For having me.
You're welcome. Okay, before you go, we got to have fun. We got to have fun with you. We do this all the time. Usually I'll ask crazy questions, but I'm very careful with you. But I can't be too careful. We have to play a game. You have to pay the dues.
Okay.
Here's the game. We have Donna's been here so long, so I need and I like her. So Donna has to play, and Ellen will play. I'm going to give you an easy one. All you have to do is fill in the blank. For instance, I'll say Jack and Jill went up the blank, and then you just fill in the blank, and you have to match Donna and Ellen.
Okay.
What do you say? All right.
Okay.
You just
all right.
Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in private because I got to get their answers first, so you're not going to hear anything because I need to get their answers first because you have to match them. Are you willing
Brian,
to play?
Brian, are you watching the time? You have 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I got it, kiddo.
Okay.
Thank you. Ellen's the business aspect. I'm just a virtual dummy. She's a ventriloquist. She's moving my lips. She's doing an imitation of my voice. That's why the interview is going so good. All right, let's head to play. Let's see. Are you ready to play? Will Donna play with us? Donna, are you going to play with us?
Sure, I'll play.
Okay. So you're so excited. Yeah, I'll play you, dummy. Hurry up. I got things to do. Get out of here. Okay. Okay, A, B, C, D, E. Okay, it's time to play. We got the game show. A, B, C, D, E. Ellen, where's the game show music? Wait a minute. I got it. Here we go. It's time to play.
Okay.
It's time to play. Here we go. I'm Winky Dink. I'm Winky Dink when I play my game show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Winky Dink. This is the game show where all the authors come on and they sell books. Their special guest will be Lana, L-A-N-A, Campbell, C-A-M-B-E-L-L. That's right. Her book is called Dead to Terror. And our two other guests, contestants, will be playing to Ellen, as you probably heard of her on the Brian Hammerjack show, the number one guy. She's the number one girl. And our special guest, celebrity guest in the studio, is Donna. Donna Hankins. She's so excited to be here. Yeah, okay. Thank you. All right. Now what we're going to do is we're going to put Ms. Campbell into our private studio and then play. Fill in the blank. Here we go. Now we're going to put her in there. Lana's going to go in. And if she's in, she's in. All right. Now I need two answers from you, two. They cannot be the same answers. She has to fill in the blank. Here we go. Frankenstein said, "Oh, my God, you made me into a great human, but you forgot my blank." Frankenstein said, "Oh, my God, you made me into a human-like figure, but you forgot to put on my blank." Let's go to Donna. Donna, he forgot to put on his blank.
His clothes?
His clothes. Good one. Good one. All right. Thank you, Donna. Ellen, we'll go to you. Oh, my God, you made me into a good human figure, but you forgot to put on my blank.
My face.
My face. Oh, boy, I don't think there's going to be a match here. But let's bring in our contestants. Here we go. Oh, boy. Here we go. And we're bringing Lana in. Lana, we're bringing you in, and you must match
All right.
these answers. All right. Let me just tell you, it's an uphill battle. Anyway, let's try. Frankenstein said, "You made me into a good human figure, like, but you forgot to put on my blank."
Me?
My
knee.
Dirty
came to mind. No, I said something dirty came to mind.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'm going to say.
Dirty. You said D? Is that your answer? Is that your final answer? You forgot to put
no.
on my knee? Okay,
no,
what's your answer?
No. So I said something dirty came to mind. I'm not going to say what.
It might be the right answer. It might be the right answer.
His pee-pee.
His pee-pee. That's what we're looking for, his pee-pee. But, you know, I think they took it easy on you because Donna said. Donna.
Clothes.
Clothes. She said clothes. You forgot to put on my clothes. Ellen said. Ellen.
Face. You forgot to put on
my
face.
So you're the only one who who's dirty mouth. But the born again Christian went to the pee pee. All right. Well, thank you for playing. You didn't win any money, but thank you for letting us know that. That what's inside your mind. The name of the book, everybody, Desert Terror, the author, again is Lana, L-A-N-A, Campbell. Get it at Amazon. It's on sale now. Thank you so much. We have two shows coming up here.
Huh? I really don't say anything.
I know, but you guys always be right on
the— I could barely hear
wow.
you.
Okay, can what you happened? Hear me now?
Yes,
oh,
I could.
Oh, I'm just walking through someplace. Sorry about that. I'm at work.
Oh, no, no. Okay, well, the show's over, and we're going to say goodbye to you and get the book, Desert Terra. And remember, don't forget to bring your pee-pee when you do the signing. Thank
yeah, I know.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
Lana. Thanks so much for having me
bye.
This morning.
You're welcome.
You have
bye.
A great day.
You too. Bye-bye, kiddo. All right, everybody,
bye.
Don't forget, we got about 14 minutes of this, and we have another show with Paranormal. We're going to be talking about ghosts. We're going to be talking about a lot of things coming on the next show. We got two shows here, right, Ellen? We have
yes,
a little bit
do.
Of a minute. Ellen, tell me about our next guest that's coming up, but first let's give her the cheers that she needs. There she goes, Desert Terror, everybody, Lana Campbell. Ellen, what's coming up in our second show? We're talking about paranormal. So what's going on here?
Yeah,
our next
author, Ms. Glacia Kronk, and she is going mm-hmm. to be here talking about her paranormal series. And the first one is it has something to do with psychics and ghosts. And
really?
It sounds really interesting. Yep. So she's going to be
wow.
here in about—
in about
yep.
10 minutes, she'll be here. So that means
minutes.
We have to.
Yeah.
So I don't want to interview Donna yet because I want her to sign a form. She sounds very interesting. So what I'm going to do is talk to her like a studio participant. Donna, we have interviewed a lot of people. Last week we interviewed a gentleman. Was it Mr. Cooper who were talking about possession and mm-hmm. spiritual?
Yeah, David J. Cooper. And he
yeah.
was here talking about his witchboard.
Yeah, witch board. So, Donna, tell me about it. You said that you had experience before. Have you encountered a paranormal?
Yes, over the years, several things have happened, yeah. Very unusual.
Really? We got a little bit of time. Would you like to discuss it? I mean, when did...
Ryan,
yes,
Ryan,
Ellen?
You need to ask Donna where she lives.
She lives in Louisiana. That's what she said before, right?
Yeah.
Right. I was born and raised in New Orleans. Well, actually, Jefferson. And
wow.
After about 18, I got married and moved. And I've been around, you know, here. I've lived in Germany and Texas and Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah,
like
and then came back home.
Young,
I'm
traveling.
63.
Well, you're young. You're young. So that tells me you're divorced. Are you divorced?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, I'm a psychic too. You didn't know it. I am. Mm-hmm. Well, I dabble. You know, sometimes
okay,
it's
go
a 50-50
for it.
Shot.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Okay, well, let me profile you. I'll tell you how good I am. Let me profile you.
Okay.
All right. I'm reaching into my
no,
spiritual...
Look at my—
don't look at your what?
Don't look on the internet.
Oh, no, I'm not looking at the internet. I thought you were talking
okay.
something personal with your answer. Okay. With no clothes on. You know what I'm getting from you, Donna?
Uh-huh.
I'm getting a troubled childhood. I'm getting a loner who's been in trouble a lot. A person who had difficulties in school. Maybe a person who got suspended once or twice. Am I getting close?
No.
No. Of course
the only
not.
Part you got right was I was definitely a loner.
Yeah, yeah. Loner. So what kind of student were you in school? I mean, if I asked you, Donna, take me to your school years and your high school years, how would you describe it? How would you describe it? To me, horrifying, interesting, pleasant. How would you put it in those words or that those titles?
No, I'd have to say scary. I was very shy.
Was it scary?
So it was scary. Yeah. And I was an average student.
Were you really? Wow. Did you miss a lot of school?
No, I didn't miss a lot, but I did call in sick every once in a while because I just couldn't face the day, you know.
Were you bullied a lot?
I'm not going to say I wasn't bullied at all, but I tried to avoid stuff like that.
Certain things, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm getting five, you have five siblings, six altogether.
No, not at all. I had one sister, and I have two stepsisters.
Really? Oh, those steppers. Those steppers. Didn't they treat you mean? They were the mean ones, weren't they, those steppers?
No, they weren't mean at all.
See how good I am? I should do readings. So your first boyfriend was in college?
No.
Okay. Well, that'll be $25 now. Yeah. $25. Thank you, ma'am. Come back for more readings. So
you
were alone.
My first boyfriend was my first boyfriend was in, I would call it, the swamps of Louisiana. This is actually where my first book came from. The thoughts of the memory with him. Yeah. I had a girlfriend there in New Orleans, and she asked me, how do you know all this stuff about the swamps? And I was like, well, I did marry somebody from there.
They're a different breed. Are they a different breed, Donna? The guys who are really in the swamps, I mean, they're a different kind of breed of boys, you would think? How they think or anything like that?
Yeah.
No?
The way the people are raised in the country is a lot different than the people, the guys, you know, that are raised in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
yeah.
People are trying to get me, they were trying to get me to bullfrog hunt. I don't know what the bullfrog thing is going on over there in the swamp people. They love bullfrogging. I don't know what is going on there.
Yeah, but Jesse was trying to do that in West Virginia.
Yeah, they just love bullfrogging. Now tell me, Donna, your first experience with the paranormal. How old were you? What happened?
I can. Because when we talk paranormal, are we talking also spiritual things?
Sure. Sure.
Because I can tell you the very first time when I was living in New Orleans and we went to a church there by Riverdale, and it was a Baptist church. And I've been going for years. I mean, my mom made me go, and so I went, you know, Sunday school and church. And it just so happened one Sunday I was sitting there and I had a guest speaker. And I had already been baptized and, you know, stuff like that. But during the service, I should say at the end of the service, something fell on me. And it was so light and loving that I was weeping. And I walked to the front. And me, the shy girl, walked to the front again. And the pastor says, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I don't know."
Wow.
And he says, "Well, do you want to be baptized?" I said, "No, I already did all that." He said, "So why are you here?" I said, "I don't know." That was my first experience with something that wasn't there. You know, nothing tangible that you could see. I mean, I could feel,
right,
but I couldn't see. And most of the things I've experienced over the years is mostly things you feel. Not always what you see. I'm not going to say I haven't seen things as I have, but mostly it's,
really?
It's something moving, you know, that's supposed to be moving.
I'm going to leave that as a cliffhanger because I would love to interview you. Would you be interested coming on the show as being interviewed as an author?
Sure.
I'm going to have Ellen go into private. We have another show that's coming up in 5 minutes, and we would love for you to come in if you have time. It's the same number. You just dial in. We would just have to just get rid of this show, and then it'll start right back up. In fact, Ellen, I think they could still come in right now and still be laid over, right? I'm not quite sure, but what I'd like to do is I'm going to have Ellen.
I think we might have the person say, you know, thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye. I mean, Glacia was already here, and I told her that, you know, we're about to start her show, so give us about 5 minutes and call back in. That was
right.
That
okay.
That was
but we
that
would love to have you.
In.
We would love to have you call back, and Donna, because it's going to be, we do different interviews, so every interview is not the same interview, and we're going to get more into the spiritual world and stuff like this with this interview. And Ellen, if you can go in private with Donna, and thank you, Donna, for playing our game. That was nice of you.
Thank you.
If you can go private with Donna, you're welcome. Get her email, please, and we can send her the form. I would love to have her as a guest. I don't want to give too much away because if she wants to be a guest, I want to, you know, go through the whole experience with her. So we gave you a little taste. So Ellen's going to go private with Donna, get her email because we're going to send her the form, and hopefully she'll be a guest of the show. And everything right now is 3 minutes to our next show. I just want to say thank you all for listening. And I want to thank Ms. Campbell's fans for listening to the name of the book. It is called Desert Terror. The author is the great Lana, L-A-N-A, Campbell. It's a great story. I mean, it's a really great story. I'm going to get it. So please support our indie authors, and we're going to see you on the flip side. Our show is going to start in about 2 minutes. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. That is Ellen J., my co-host. And our next show will start in exactly 2 minutes, and we'll get more into the paranormal activities of the world because I don't think we're alone. Okay, we're going to end the show with this. Can I get it before the show ends? So hopefully you'll join us in about 1 minute. And thank you.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
And I want to thank you for listening again. You are listening to the Hammer Radio Network, along with the number one co-host personality, Ellen J. And Desert Terror is out now on Amazon. And
okay.
We're going to say goodbye right now. Our show is going to start in exactly 60 seconds. Ellen, great show, right? You got 60 seconds
yep,
to take
it
me
was.
Out.
Yep.
All
yeah,
right.
it was.
I'm
Don't
hoping
forget,
the show rolls
about,
over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in about half a minute. You know, we have a new show starting. So, again, if you'd like to come in and join us for our second show, 319-527-6099 is the number.
That's right. And it's 60 seconds. And don't forget my book. I have a book coming out called Don't Read This Book. Are You Crazy? Bestseller.
Oh, God.
You can get my book on Amazon. All right, here we go. We're starting a new show in exactly 40 seconds. So Blog Talk is telling me our show is about to start right now. And our guest will be who, Ellen?
Our guest is Glacia Kronk. And actually, I think she's in the studio right now.
All right. I hope it keeps her. I hope it doesn't kick her out. And it's going to be a really, really interesting interview, too. And the other one was interesting, too. All right. We're going now on 10 seconds, Ellen. We're getting ready for our new show. Here we go. 10 seconds. There we go. Five, four,